You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft, play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new, free, and very cool fantasy NFL draft game. The second contest, it's live now. Sign up on clevelandbrowns.com today. As promised, joining this show is the one and only Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. You know, just before we started this segment, you were chatting with some folks. We got a lot of activity going on out here, and we could see outside the glass. I got to admit, Doug, I was impressed with the movement, and I said, you did your fair share of pulling. I think you could still do it now, and I'd work you into the zone blocking scheme.
That looked like a 4.6, 4.7 40 to me.
Yeah, that was, unfortunately, they're on artificial knees, so I can't do it for a long time.
Clearly a tribute to them, though. All right, so, Doug, 10 days away, and as we kind of hone in on what this, and you heard Ray Farmer address the media today, he's not, again, he didn't say anything regarding any specifics, but just the thought process. I did come away with the impression that he is confident with his plan, and he walks into this thing as a first-year general manager, not sounding or looking like a first-year general manager all, you know, nervous about how this thing's going to come down. Maybe it's inside, he's internalizing it, but I see a guy who pretty much believes that they're going to attack this thing and attack it well.
Yeah, very impressive press conference in regards to, you know, the ability to talk for 30 minutes and really not say anything but also say something. I thought he did a great job. I mean, I think he has got all his eggs in a row, as they might say. But, you know, as he said, you know, it depends what happens before him. And, you know, as far as moving up, it's kind of, you know, it's like those football players that you say have to be able to think on their feet. You think about a general manager, you got to think on your feet, because you got that $64,000 question 10 times this year, and you've got to try to hit as many as you can right. And, you know, we've seen the past history of some of the players we've taken and the lack of success. So, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Ray and his scouts, and, you know, it's everybody. And I think the thing about Ray is he has his coaching staff involved to tell him what kind of player they want. Now it's out for Ray and his people to go out and find those kind of players.
Deke, what was your biggest takeaway from today's press conference in terms of if there was anything that you think you could glean from Ray Farmer's words in those 30 minutes, what would be the top takeaway for you?
I don't know if there was anything that was his top. I think going back to what Vic was talking about, the way he was sure of himself, and, you know, it wasn't like, okay, this is my first draft. You know, his eyes were all over the place, the deer in the headlights as they talked. No, he was quite confident in what he was doing, and I think, you know, when you know what you're doing, you're going to be confident, and I'm not sure if that's the way it was last year.
I think he's also confident, and I'm curious to get both of your takes on this, in the fact that he does know what he's doing and that nobody else in the world has any idea about what the Browns actually intend to do come May 8th.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure, and I'm not sure if, you know, like he said, there's three picks before him. That's going to dictate what he does do. And he did say, I think he had one player in mind.
He did.
Yeah, and, you know, that would be interesting to find out. You know, we kind of wish you'd write it down on a piece of paper and just save it here in a time capsule, and we'll open it after the draft and see if you get that guy.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, whoever he gets is going to be the guy he wanted.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course.
It has to be, especially at four.
I was going to say, right out of the script of the draft day movie. But, Doug, as we look at this and positions, we've spent this time, and Ray Farmer was on this show basically saying something very similar to what we heard from Mike Pettine, that you got to minimize the importance of the quarterback position, meaning that the rest of your team's got to be stronger. You got to have that defense, got to have that running game, got to have strong positions around the guy and not put it all on the guy. And I get all that, but what I can't let go of in my mind is the need for a quarterback from this draft, and maybe two, is still prominent. The signing of Vince Young and Tyler Thigpen today doesn't change that.
No, it doesn't. I mean, you have to have that guy that you're going to develop. I mean, Vince Young and Tyler Pigpen, they've been around the block, and they've had some success, but not great success. And if you're going to, you know, get to where you want to go, you've got to have great success out of that position. You know, the way a Tom Brady elevates a team, a Peyton Manning elevates a team. Yeah, you're not going to get maybe a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning, but somebody that can make the people around him better.
What did you think of the fact that Ray Farmer talked a little bit of, he was asked about trading down, saying that, of course, you need a partner to be able to trade down. But it certainly seemed like that was, when he talked about all the scenarios they played out, one that has been explored, at least in a hypothetical or theoretical sense, by this team.
Well, yeah, I think you'd have to. And, you know, obviously with 10 picks, you've got a lot, so you can move
up
around.
Sure.
With the second first-round pick, if you want to move back up, you could probably do that without, you know, giving away the house. But with 10 picks, you know, they are well armed, and it's as far as the quarterback, you know, the guy, maybe not there, but there's a lot of talent in this draft that maybe last year's didn't have.
Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Doug, at other positions, a guy that, and this always gets a little tricky when you try to get into the game of what does Ray mean? What does the general manager mean? But he was pretty effusive, and Nathan pointed this out earlier in the show, very effusive about Sammy Watkins, and went into how thrilled, you know, how exciting it would be to have him maybe with a Josh Gordon. He went that far with it, but, you know, talked about him being ginormous and being very talented. And I don't know if any of that means anything, but as you look, and we get closer to this, and I know we probably the last opportunity until after the draft to talk with you about this, how do you see the mindset of this team going? What makes the most sense for you, not just with the fourth pick, but with that first round?
I mean, I think, you know, the one thing that they've got to do is I think they've got to come up with another wide receiver. I
agree.
You know, not only for the offensive protection, but to protect your team in regards to in case something happens on the other side. So I think that's, you know, very important. I also think, you know, another cornerback would be a great addition to go alongside Joe. You know, I think you need to fill in some offensive lines at the guard position. I think you need some more competition there to say, get a little more athletic in the offensive line in the guard position. So those are things. But, you know, it also gets down to that quarterback, the draft and develop quarterback that you're going to get that, you know, hopefully can, you know, down the road be a player for you. And somebody you don't really have to force in, you know. You know, like what the Bengals did with Carson Palmer, you know, give him a year to sit, and because I think he can absorb a heck of a lot more. And I also think that the hunger to play, you know, I see quarterbacks that come in and first-round draft picks. Well, I'm a first-round draft pick. I'm going to be the quarterback. Well, they're out playing golf in the offseason instead of, you know, sitting there trying to, you know, become a better quarterback.
I agree with you. I think if the first three picks, if the Browns come out of there with a quarterback, and not in any particular order, but a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a cornerback, I would be very, very happy.
Oh, yeah. In the first three picks, if you could get all three of those, that would be great. You know, getting back, you know, like I was thinking the other day about Brandon Whedon. You know, I think Brandon's biggest faults was he was too good of an athlete. You know, the guy played baseball, he played football, he was a great golfer. I mean, he had a chance to play in the U.S. Open, I guess, if he almost qualified. But sometimes when things come natural for you, you don't have to grind. And these guys that are successful, I mean, you look at Peyton Manning, you know this guy's a grinder. You know, Tom Brady might be a pretty boy, but he's a grinder. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he's a grinder. I mean, the great ones are grinders. They're just not natural athletes because, you know, at the college level, you can get by with it because you're better than most of the guys. When you get to the pro level, it all balances out.
And I think what you say hits the absolute nail on the head for at least the way that I view the quarterback position. The guys that you just mentioned, I'll throw Drew Brees in there as well. Yeah. When you say they're grinders, that means they're putting in the time so that they can win with their minds every bit as well as they can win with their bodies.
Oh, it's a big mind game. I mean, Brian Sipe used to, you know, Brian wasn't, what, 6 foot, a little over 6 foot, probably didn't have the strongest arm, but, you know, he was a guy that had his knew the offense as good as the coaching staff did, and, you know, they kind of tailored it to what he could do, and he was very successful with it. You know, all the guys, yeah, you can load up and have, you know, the supporting cast, but when you get over the hump, I think you've got to be able to grind.
And that's the question. That's the question. We know Teddy Bridgewater mentally is that kind of a player, and it shows on the tape. Johnny Manziel never had to do that in college, and in fact, I think say a lot of the things you see on tape are the result of the fact that he was a see-it-react-read-react athlete. to be successful at the NFL. I think you're right. You must grind. You must understand what's going to happen before it happens so that you're playing fast and not thinking and reacting.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you know, as soon as it becomes natural in your mind, then you know, you're just reacting to what you see. Yeah, the game, you speed up the game. You know, some of these guys, you know, sit there and hold. You know, and I play with Paul McDonald. I mean, he was like the goal. He just sat there and sat there and sat there. And then, you know, and all of a sudden the offensive line looks terrible. But it's not the offensive line always. It's the guy sitting there holding the football because he can't read the defense.
And I think that's some of the things that happened with Brandwein. It was a slow process, and it didn't mentally, he was not quick enough to get it out there. And I'm not saying he's not smart, but I'm saying on the football field, it took too long for things to process and turn into action.
Yeah, you know, and he'd gone from baseball to football, and he tried to cram that in. Then all of a sudden he had the pressure of the fact that he was 29 when he was drafted.
Right.
You know, and then he went through a couple systems.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of stacked against him.
It was set up for failure. Doug, one thing before we let you go, but this team gets on the field tomorrow with more, and I know it's limited, the type of work that's being done, but Coach Mike Pettine, his staff really kind of gets this team out there in his most organized fashion for the first time as a coaching staff. What are some of the things that you just are looking to kind of see from this? What's early statement, if that's the right way to put it? What early indication of the type of staff this is and the type of approach they're going to take? He's going to be with us in a little bit. We're going to ask him that. But I'd like to ask you about what you're looking for there.
Well, I think, you know, how they teach. I mean, because, you know, guys that have been around, you know, with a different system, now they've got to learn a new system. Okay, so is a coaching staff a teaching coaching staff? Is it one that can relate to the players? You know, I'm sure Mike's going to be hard on him. But by the same token, I'm sure he'll know when to take the foot off the pedal. You know, you talk to the people in Baltimore. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, he came up the hard way. You know, he started at the bottom, and he has an appreciation, I think, for the game. You know, not just the players, but, you know, the people in the equipment room, the trainers. He understands how, you know, important all these people are, because that's what he was once.
Sure. Absolutely.
Right. Doug, thank you.
Even the radio host.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, true. That's true. All right. He is Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Coming up, we have a conversation with the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine. Going to sit down with him, get his thoughts on this draft and on the on-field practices that begin tomorrow as well. He is Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, and we are driven by Liberty Ford.